for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from Zexant Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday morning, July the 1st, 1987. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tom Hodgins of Atlanta, Georgia, is the speaker of the morning. It's a privilege this morning to introduce Brother Tom Hodges to you. His wife is here somewhere. He may introduce her. We've known the Hodges for almost 20 years, I guess. So far as I know, we first met them as CFO. I don't know if it was a full gospel businessman. CFO back in the 60s. And loved them then. And kind of lost track of them for a little while. And then I don't know if we met you when we were over to Brother Polk's church about three years ago or not. We were over there for a couple of days. And then reacquainted ourselves this spring with them back down in Florida when we went down to a seminar down in Florida. Well, we reacquainted ourselves with them, and we found a joy to be able to invite them to come and be with us for these days and to have them minister to us. Brother Tom Hodges is a minister in Brother Earl Polk's church over, I call it Atlanta. They actually are in Decatur, which is a little suburb of Atlanta. It's like L.A. In L.A., L.A. covers everything for 75 miles in every direction, yet there's 25 other, 30 other little communities that have their own little name. But anyway, he's one of the associate ministers over there in the church over there, and I'm sure that he has something that will help us to grow in the Lord, to teach us while he's here these days. The Lord is using him, has used and does use him greatly also in the deliverance ministry, as well in other areas of ministry. But we need the full, rounded ministry of the body of Christ. And this place here, I want it to be noted, first of all, that we have the full ministry of the Lord here. The pastors, teachers, prophets, apostles, that we invite and have the entire ministry of the gospel here. And then our calling is to the deliverance ministry. But we cannot take one item of the gospel and major in it without the rest of the gospel, or we will become lopsided. So it's necessary that we have the full ministry of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And then we're called to one portion and somebody else to another portion. And as we minister together, then we will receive and have a full understanding and ability to walk and grow in the things of the Lord. Well, I'm not supposed to be talking. I'm taking Brother Hodges' time. Brother Hodges, come and minister to us this morning the word of the Lord.
I'm off. This first part, you might kind of cut from there, but I'll give it. Whenever I hear someone get up and preach, I wonder about the background, how they got there and what they are and what happened and so forth. I started out as a Presbyterian. Anyone here Presbyterian, or you were Presbyterian? Praise the Lord. And then I joined the church. So I was baptized, took communion, all the rest of it. Then as I grew up, I used to love to dance. That's where the devil got me. He used to say I'd rather dance than eat. And I ended up giving floor shows and nightclubs and so forth. Went out to Hollywood to try and get in the movies with the dancing. And the Lord had chased me long enough. He decided I'm going to cut him off good. So he saved me about the time I might have had some, might have been tried out and so forth for the movies. I'd have never made it. I know that. But I used to love to do it. The Lord saved me on May the 19th, 1939, Hollywood, California. The place where I was saved, an apartment house, is now a big high-rise office building. I was out there ministering about 2 years ago, and my son, who is also a minister, just returned from Ghana, Africa. During the time, they had three people, deaf and dumb. He cast out demons of deaf and dumb, and all three of them could hear and talk and walk with the Lord. He seems to have a gift on that particular thing that's happened again and again. And I said, Lord, I've been preaching for about 45 years, and not once have I cast demons out of someone who of deaf and dumb, but it's coming. But the Lord saved me, and then I got reading, studying the Bible, and from there I became a Baptist and went to college and seminary as a Baptist. Then I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and when the chairman of the deacons found it out, I don't know how he found it out. It might have been because over half the deacons had the baptism of the Spirit. They would go with me on Friday nights up to Tom Jones's in Coral Gables, Florida, and then we'd have some really wall-banging meetings. And the chairman of the deacons one night in the deacons' meeting said, Brother Tom, answer my question now. Do you speak in tongues? And I looked right at him. I said, I sure do, Joe. And he said, that ain't Baptist. And I said, but let me show you, Joe, it's Bible. He said, I don't care about that. It ain't Baptist. So he said, if you speak in tongues, don't claim to be a Baptist. And his missionary cousin or something had told him, that guy will split your church all up and down if you let him stay in church. So I said, that's rather interesting. About 2 weeks ago, I was in a meeting, and a certain man from California who had never seen me, he was talking to different young men and bringing prophecy. He pointed me clear back in the corner, and he said, you right there, would you stand? And I stood, and he said, God tells me to tell you, sever all ties, cut all connections. He has a new ministry for you. Little did I know what that meant. I was still finding out. And he said a few more things, and I sat down, and in 2 weeks, the chairman of the deacons is saying, get out of here. You're no more Baptist. You know, I couldn't understand that. After I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we had over 100 people saved. 19 of them got saved the next Sunday when I preached in that church. And they were all members of the church. That might have alerted him a little bit. Including the organist sitting over on my left. The pianist over on my right had already gotten the baptism of the Holy Spirit and was really growing in the Lord. From then, the Lord immediately started using us in deliverance. We've been doing it 18 years. And from one thing to another, excuse my hoarse voice, I kind of picked it up in Atlanta. We're having similar to the weather you're having. We drove through rain that just, I was born in Colorado and we didn't have it there as bad as you had it here or on 40 yesterday. It was really something. And so I picked up a little hoarseness. I believe the Lord's going to bring it out. Amen. But as we went along in deliverance, working in it, we didn't have anyone to show us. We just thought if you got baptized in the Holy Spirit, that you're supposed to cast out demons because places we went, they were doing it. So we just kind of joined the boys, you know, and started doing it along with them. I used to shout until I couldn't hardly talk anymore. And my wife would go to bed, and I'd stretch out in one of these lazy boy chairs, and I'd say, now, Lord, I can't stand this. I can hardly talk now. People can't hear me. And the Lord just seemed to say to me, when you have authority, you don't have to yell. And I looked around to see where he was. He was so real. That was probably the most real, except for the baptism, he'd ever been to me. And I said, yes, sir. So I quit yelling so much, like you'd yell at a dog or yell at your kids. And then we got to where we did less. We used to have two, three, four men holding them down, one on each arm, one on each leg. And I've seen a woman less than 100 pounds raise an arm and lift the men off the floor or one leg, and they were gone. Lift them off the floor, or three or four men drag them around the room. And then I said, now, Lord, I can't stand that. I'm supposed to be a pastor, spend all my time till 2 or 3 in the morning casting out demons, and then they come back the next day, somebody else. And he said, when you have authority, you can speak to them. And I almost looked around again, but now I was getting used to him. So I said, thank you, Lord. But he has taken us to different places. The woman this morning who spoke to us for a few moments there, mentioned about the Iron Curtain. We were in Budapest, Hungary, about 2 years ago. We lived in the, or stayed in a hotel that was on the Danube, Blue Danube river looked like coffee with cream in it. It was anything but blue. But we would leave the hotel. We walked 2 or 3 blocks. Someone from the church would pick us up. We'd carry our Bibles, and only one person carry a Bible. Carry the Bible in a shopping bag. We would not say a word. They'd stop. We'd get in the car. They'd warn us, don't say a word in English. Then we'd come to the church. It was just a house. You'd just be driving along. They'd say, we're here. No sign, no indication. We'd stop. They'd always caution us, now, don't say a word until after the end of the church, and we close the door and put up the curtains. And I thought, I wonder just what that means. When we went, sure enough, we got out of the car, everybody walked in separately, different times. They closed the door, put soundproof material over the doorway and heavy drapes. Over every window, they put in soundproof material and covered that with drapes. No air conditioning at all. I mean, you think it's hot here? We should have been there. You could have lost 5 pounds on every service just in water. But we sat there and began the service. One time I had my hands up praising the Lord. And when they started, they so loved the Lord. And the way that they sang was so just permeated with the Holy Spirit that all I could do was just stand there and cry. You just couldn't do anything else. And tears just, I don't know, we're not crying so much. And one time when we were there worshiping, we had just sat down. And my arms up like this, and my wife handed me a Kleenex. Lift my elbow, and you'd think I had a faucet on this arm and a faucet on this arm. It was so hot in that room. No air conditioning, no fans of any kind. But they had to be careful with the police. I taught them deliverance. We started to have deliverance, and it got so noisy, we had to close it down. We said, no more. And I said, Lord, when you cast them out, you got noise, people holler, cough, sometimes scream, so forth. How am I going to have deliverance? We've just started. The Lord said, have them breathe out. And I tried a little bit, you know, kind of like, well, we'll try it. So we got there that night, and I said, folks, we had to close it down. We couldn't cast out demons. It was too noisy. Now, I'm going to bind the demons in you, and then you're going to, when I say, when we take certain demons, you're going to breathe them out. So it came to place. I said, now, in the name of Jesus, you spirits of, let's say, anger, temper, rage, violence, murder, wrath, breathe out. And they breathe, and that's all you heard. Well, that blew my mind. And sometimes we need to blow the mind. Get this out of the way, and the spirit can get in there. But I just thought, my. So we went all through and had deliverance for a couple of hours. It was so different. Now, that's not to say that you won't have noise when demons are coming out. If a person is very emotional, then the demons kind of seem to gravitate. They're emotional. They go to the emotional person. When they come out, they went in emotionally. They come out emotionally. So you'll have that quite often. And I'm amused. I don't know anything about the brothers who are here. I don't know the methods of deliverance. But I'm amused sometimes how a person can get up and run down the method that another man uses in casting out demons. If while I'm here, I see you holler and carry on and so forth, praise the Lord, get them out, brother. If that's the only way, get them out. Usually if I minister with them, it's quietly. I'm a quiet person. I'm laid back and easy. I listened to Jack preach last night, and I wanted to get up and holler and yell because he really goes at it. I teach. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a pulpit pounder, but I'll give you a Bible, and they'll be anointed, I pray, by the Holy Spirit. So as we worked with it, I started 9 churches, pastored charismatic churches. It's interesting, the Southern Baptist churches that I started, every one of them is still in existence. But of the charismatic churches I started, none of them are now in existence. Some of them became part of another church because we got where we were traveling so much, I couldn't pastor a church and the other and didn't know it, yet have the men develop, so we would merge our church with someone else. But of the charismatic ones, 3, none of them are still in existence as that particular church. When they called them cruisematics, they said the right word. There's too much that they go in and go out. They just move around church to church. They don't get settled. But we learned this thing of authority. Don't you ever try to cast out demons if you are not under authority. You be sure that there's some man you can say, Brother Jack Harris is my pastor, or somebody, and He is your authority. Because so often as we go, sometimes a lady will come up to a man and they'll say, well, we got a deliverance ministry. That excites me. Too few people are doing it. It ought to be more of them doing it, and then some wouldn't have to spend almost full time doing it. But they come up and they say, well, we got a deliverance ministry. There might be a lady by herself, and then I'll say, your husband will work with you. No, that old goat doesn't even believe in Jesus. He's not a Christian. And I'll say, oh, do you work with your pastor? No, he hasn't accepted deliverance either. I said, who do you work with? Or a friend of mine. And that's it. That's dangerous. You be sure that you are under, just like the centurion, be under authority, and you will have authority. If you don't, you'll be like some of the washed out wrecks I see strewn all over the place, and they come staggering up. We used to have a deliverance ministry. We used to cast out demons, and now they're pitiful. That shouldn't be. You ought to grow in it little by little and little by little. We pastored in Atlanta for a good while, and then the Lord seemed to say, we got so heavy in deliverance. It was deliverance, 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 to where we couldn't do it much at night and do it the next day. And so my son, who had just gotten saved, 29 years of age, I was a Baptist preacher, and he was a bartender. Thank you, Baptist. Should have heard it from all of you. Because for a Baptist preacher to have a son that's a bartender, something's wrong somewhere. But he was very rebellious, ran away from home, went his way, did his own thing, and even got the place to where he said, now, Dad, I love you and Mother. And you can come to my home, and I want you in my home. But when you come, leave Jesus in the car. Don't bring your Bible in. You know why? Because when we were in Missouri, pastoring there, he'd slip off and go into the bar because he was large for his size, bigger than his daddy. I quit whipping him when he got a certain age. But he said, I'll go in these bars and I'll see some of your deacons in there, Dad. I wouldn't believe him. I said, I don't believe they do that. He said, why don't you go and find out? I went about to go and find out in a bar. I didn't want to sneak up on my men. But even after he was saved, he said, oh, yes, Dad, so-and-so, I'd go to a bar. There'd be some of your people in your church. He grew up seeing hypocrites, which is no excuse. That can take you to hell, you and hypocrites, and you spend eternity with them, hearing the very thing that made you the maddest. But anyhow, he went on, went his way in the military, out of the military. We used to pray. We pray in English. And I feel this is very important, what I'm about to say. In English, I would say, Father, send someone to Jimmy's house, my son, that they may win him to Jesus. As you know, Lord, you won't let me talk to him about Jesus, nor about the Holy Spirit, nor about the things of God. Send someone to talk to him about Jesus. No one went. But every day we'd fast, one day a week, Wednesday. By the way, there's some of you here that need to hear this. You need to practice this.
Tomorrow is fast day here. I'll talk about that.
Please. Good. All right. So we would fast on that day, one day a week, Wednesday. But then I'd pray for him in tongues. Every day I'd pray, send someone to talk to. Then I'd pray for him in tongues. Which praying do you think really got the job done? Praying in the tongues. I prayed what I thought from here. But I prayed what the Holy Spirit wanted from here. And that got him. You know what happened? His wife called one time from West Palm Beach. Said, you better get down here. Jimmy's going to kill himself. He was hiring a kite on drugs. And had been that way for a while. We got there. I walked in. Looked him in the eyes and said, Dad, I need help. I said, son, you need Jesus. He said, bring him in. But I said, I need my Bible. He said, Dad, go get it. Brought it in. He got saved that night. Cast demons out of him the next night. Went to church first time in 15 or 16 years the next day. And on Monday, he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's a pattern in the Bible. Number one, well, this is found in, you don't have to turn because you know it. Mark 16:17. These signs shall follow them that believe. Christians. In my name they shall cast out demons is the first thing. Speak with new tongues is the second thing. If the snakes bind, they drink deadly poison. Doesn't say to do it. It's more of an if there in the Greek. They shall not die. They'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So if you take the whole thing and put the Bible together, God's divine plan, number one, get born again. Number two, cast out demons. Number three, the baptism in water, obedience. Number four, baptism of the Spirit. Number five, crucify the flesh, and then miracles and go from there. You know how we do it? We leave deliverance out. Get saved and go for years and years and years, and then they come and they want them out. In the meantime, they've got a religious spirit so big it wouldn't fit in this room. And they made people mad and said, if that's a baptism of the spirit, I don't want it. It turns me off. Or they come to someone and all they can do is say, praise Jesus, hallelujah, glory to God. That's all they say. And it grates on even the lost sinner. It grates on the fact that he says that without reason, and so it means nothing when you say it. A religious spirit. And about 10 people out of 9 have a religious spirit. You're listening. About 10 out of 9 have a religious spirit. All right, say this after me, if you will. Through the blood of Jesus,
I am redeemed
out of the hand of the devil.
Ephesians
1:7.
Through the blood of Jesus,
all my sins are forgiven.
Psalm
107:2. The blood of Jesus Christ,
God's Son,
cleanses me from all sin. Would you say all sin again?
All sin.
So many people go along and think God forgives most of them, but he doesn't forgive the abortion, doesn't forgive the sex before marriage, doesn't forgive and on and on. God says all sin.
Amen.
Nothing's left out of it. And for that scripture, say 1 John 1:7.
Through the blood of
Jesus,
I'm justified.
Just as if I'd never sinned.
Romans 5:9.
Through the blood of Jesus,
I am sanctified.
Made holy.
Set apart to God.
Hebrews 13:12.
My body
is a temple for the Holy Spirit.
Redeemed,
cleansed,
and sanctified
by the blood of Jesus.
1 Corinthians
6:19-20.
Therefore,
the devil has no place in me,
and no more power over me,
through the blood of Jesus.
Revelation 12:11.
Daily I overcome Satan
by the blood of Jesus the Lamb
and by the word of my testimony,
and I shall not love my life
even unto the death.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Turn to Ephesians chapter 6.
I've never done this in the beginning conference before. The Lord said do it, the Holy Spirit did. And I want to talk to you about the armor of God, the whole armor of God. Right after I received the baptism of the Spirit, when I got into deliverance, I don't know now how it happened, but some way the Lord got me started putting on the whole armor of God first thing in the morning. Then he got me doing it before I got out of bed, my wife and myself. A certain preacher in Atlanta, one of the biggest churches in Atlanta, not Chapel Hill Harvester, where I belong. He and I spent some hours together. Then he talked, and I talked about the armor of God, and he talked about it on television. I listened to him, nodding right down the line, because he was going the way that he and I talked. And then he said, and I do this every morning before I get out of bed. Of course, I don't know where he got that, but you do. Now, in the Word of God, Luke tells us, and don't turn there, that the armor of God is an important thing. And in this chapter 6, starting with verse 10. Now, here's one reason. There are a lot of them, but here's one reason why you ought to put on the whole armor of God. Because the devil comes to do what? Steal, kill, destroy. What's the last part of that verse? Now, the rest of the verse says what? Yeah, but the rest of that verse.
But I am
come that you might have, and that you might have it more. So let's be sure to remember the two. I know when we teachers and preachers are preaching, we'll give the first part, and not always bring the other, but it's there. Jesus said he came for that. So, if you are not having the life you ought to have, you're not having the abundant life you ought to have, could be you're not standing against the devil you ought to.
Hallelujah.
He's stealing, killing, destroying. He'll do it to you and to your kids. Well, let's look at the whole armor of God. Let me read it first. You notice the beginning of the chapter 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord and honor your father and your mother. Verse 4, you fathers, don't provoke your kids. 5, you servants have duties. And then the masters in 9 have duties to do unto God. After you've gone through this, he's talking spiritual authority all the way through there. Every bit of it is obedience to those above you in authority. Then verse 10. Finally, my brethren. Now, when he says finally, he's saying here because of the things I've just gone through. My brethren, which is Christians, be strong in the Lord. Don't forget you can't be strong anywhere else. I meet some who are in deliverance who've seen the things because their name is John Doe. And they've been casting out demons for 20 years. That the demons would almost go out if they called their own name. Don't you watch out for pride and deliverance. Beware of it. It's almost the first thing that comes. We had it. It came. But Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Why did the devil get kicked out? Number 1, pride. Number 2, rebellion and filthiness. It's a pattern, and he'll work it on you too. Be careful of it. But it goes on. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor, notice whole, of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now it says, if he says you have to put on the whole armor of God to stand against the devil and the wiles, then if you don't put on the whole armor of God, you won't stand against the whole things, the wiles, the tricks, the schemes of the devil. Mark it down. For a long time, I would do this and talk about it and start teaching along with deliverance. And some preacher would say to me, you mean you do that every day? I said, yeah. Don't you put your clothes on every day? Well, yeah. I was in the military 5 years. And believe you me, in New Guinea, and 2.5 years, and we put on our uniform every day. We had snipers all around us. We had guys being shot in different places and not knowing where it came from. Put it on every day. Then it goes on. Here's why. For, the Greek there is gar, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's your mother-in-law, father-in-law, your wife, your husband, your kids. Some parents have a running battle with their kids and the kids with their parents. But we wrestle against principalities, against powers, better word, there's authorities, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, better word, there is in the heavenlies. So he gave us what we're battling against. Principalities, where are they? In heaven. Powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies. Now, we have to back up to get what he's talking about there. There are three heavens. Paul said he was carried to the third heaven. If three's enough for Paul, it's enough for me. So up there in that third heaven is God's throne, God's authority. It was a place where Lucifer used to be. But Lucifer sinned and made a devil of himself. Someone says, you have God's a God of love. Why did he make the devil? He didn't make the devil a devil. The devil made himself a devil. God made him. The Bible says he was perfect in wisdom in all his ways. Perfect in beauty. Anybody here perfect in beauty? The devil's the only person in the Bible that says was perfect in beauty. And there's a whole study on that thing. But it was. When he sinned, God kicked him out of the top heaven, the place of authority. That's why he no longer has any authority. But he ended up in the middle heaven. And that's where his authority, his headquarters is. That's where he rules the demons, controls all the demonic things that take place on earth, is the middle heaven. But I love that verse, which says, whatever you bind on earth is what? You know, don't you? Whatever's loosed on earth is
loosed in heaven.
Now, don't you forget that. It's true. Whenever I pray for my wife, myself, our granddaughter's come to live with us. She's going to Earl Paul College this fall. When I pray for them, and every one of my, I have 2 children, a son and a daughter, all of them born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit. When I pray for them, I bind the demons. I like to put it this way. I have to pray for Jimmy and so on and so forth. I say, now, Father, I bind every demon that's assigned to my son today. I throw him in confusion. They cannot do what they've been assigned to do in the name of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Now, Psalm 70 will tell you they're about throwing them in confusion. And believe you me, it works. It absolutely works. Of course, I bind them over myself and my wife as we go and travel and work together. Our granddaughter being with us, she gets it twice. I pray for her because she lives in our household, in my house, but also because she's my daughter's daughter. And so, but do that. It's scripture. You can do it. Try it. You'll like it. Devil will hate it. But it'll make some good things in your life. All right. But it goes on. Here comes the armor. Wherefore? Why do we say wherefore? Because of all this junk. Take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And believe me, sometimes that's all you can do, just plain stand. But don't stand there spiritually naked. Stand there with the whole armor of God on. Let me ask you something. Here, let's say this is you. And you put on the whole armor of God. Let's say that this is Joe Blow, doesn't know about the armor. He doesn't put it on. You have. You walk out there. It's a spiritual armor for the spiritual world. And we can't see it, but the spirit world sure can. The devil, his demons, principalities, and the rest of it. Which one is the devil going to say, get him? The one with the armor or the one without? The one without. The Christian without the armor. Well, he'll work on the one with the armor. Just because you put the armor doesn't say, well, I got the armor on, therefore no problems. No, no. You'll have problems. Speaking of armor, I'll explain to you about the collar later on. No sin in it, really. I'll explain all about it. But right now, we'll put on the other armor. So it says this. Now you stand that way. Then he takes it. And it's rather interesting the way in which he does it. I used to have dealings with people, and because I hadn't studied this part of the thing, I just say put on the helmet of salvation, breastplate, go down the line, because that was easier. But this puts it on the belt of truth, or your girds, your loins girded about the belt of truth. And finally I thought, the Holy Spirit said to me, why don't you study that? So I studied that. And there's a definite reason. The first thing that you put on is the belt of your loins, verse 14, having your loins girt about with truth. Now, this is taken from the Roman armor that they would put on. And they had a tunic that came down low, down around the knees or lower, and they'd take the belt and they wrap that tunic in a way in which they wouldn't trip up in it. But the belt went first to tighten that up so that they wouldn't get caught up in their own, we'd say, underwear or undergarment. And that got it in place where they could run, jump, the rest of it, and they wouldn't be interfered with. So it says, put on the belt of truth. But also, who is the truth, the way, and the life? Every piece of the armor is Jesus. The Bible says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Every single piece of the armor is a representation and is a type of Christ. So we put the belt of truth on. By the way, when you put on the belt of truth, try speaking it. Too many Christians that tell too many things that are too far out that even a lost sinner won't listen to them. It's just, the truth is so important. God will not bless anything but the truth. Whether it's what you're preaching from the Bible or the fact that, really, the tire is flat because it's my fault I ran to a curb or whatever. God wants the truth, secular and religiously. Always give the truth. So we put on that belt of truth. Then he says, having on the breastplate of righteousness. So we go from there, we put on the breastplate of righteousness. And it tells us in the Word of God that it's faith and love. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For with the what? With the heart we believe unto salvation. So the faith side, I think, is from the heart. And then the love part, really both, so mixed together, as one man put it, the mesh is so closely wound together that faith and love are both heart and lungs, because that's what you're covering. You quit breathing, you're a dead man. Your blood quits running, you're a dead person, man or woman. So it covers the living things that must be physically and also spiritually. Then he tells us, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Wherever you go, you ought to walk in peace. When someone sees a Christian, and folks, say what you will, and I don't know how far the state goes, but say what you will, if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you ought to have more peace than you had before. You ought to walk in more power. You ought to walk in more revelation. I didn't know what revelation was before I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, I preached sermons. I was a soul winner. And I'm going to hold revivals. We'd have 50, 60 people saved in nearly every revival. But it's because I taught the people personal soul winning, and then you go out in the community and win them and bring them in, which I think is more biblical than actually one person doing it all. The church ought to get to work. The church ought to be doing soul winning. Then I leave and go back to college, go back to the church I was pastoring, and those people knew how to do soul winning and go out and do it. But when I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's the you, there's the other person. You ought to go by twos. That's the best way to do personal soul winning. But here are two people. Let's say that you and I, not the one on your left and your right, you and I go in soul winning. So we go, we knock on the door, we go in, we get acquainted, and here's a lost man and his wife. They're sitting over here on the couch. And we're sitting over here. We talk back and forth, and then I let you do some of the talking. While you're talking, I kind of cover him with my mouth a little bit, and out loud I say, in the name of Jesus Christ, God's Son, I bind every demon in this lost sinner, this husband and his wife. The demons cannot stop them from hearing the gospel, nor seeing that they need to be saved, nor stop them from making a decision for Jesus. You know what? It makes soul winning a lot better than it used to be. You get the Holy Spirit is there. Who convinces them? Convinces them of sin? The Holy Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, whose sword is it? The Holy Spirit, the Word of God. So take him there. When you're full of the Spirit, your soul winning is going to be a different situation. And it is. I've tried it. And it's wonderful that way. All right. So we put on the shoes. We walk in peace. We carry peace. And we lead them to the Prince of Peace in the way we go. But you put those on and go in the flesh, you should not go. You've ruined that which you put on that morning, the shoes, the preparation of the gospel of peace. Well, the next one. We put on above all, or over all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. In the Greek there, it's understood the wicked one, or the devil. So we got the shield of faith. Now, there are two kinds of shields. One was a round one, might have been about so big around. And they'd hold it on, if they're right-handed, they'd hold it on their left arm, and they take care of the close fighting, the jabs, and the short, close-up wrestling type of fighting. That took care of that. But at a distance, arrows, javelins, any long-distance fighting, they had what they called, and in the Greek it means door, a shield that was big enough that they could get down and hide behind that. You could not see an arm, a finger, anything. Completely hide behind that shield. Ever felt sometime you like to somewhere pulled in, you know, and just sit down, even get peace and quiet while you prayed? Two kinds of shields. They'll take care of every situation there is. We were in Buenos Aires, Argentina, with a missionary there, and holding deliverance. We were there a month, and we traveled around to different places. We'd worked with this woman. This was when we first started. We'd only been doing about 2 or 3 years. And it took 4 hours of that silly demon to get the thing to place where he would move at all. It always wanted to talk. We'd tell him to shut up. It'd sit there and go like this and then start in again. And then start in again. Partly because the woman's mother was a prostitute on the streets of Argentina, of Buenos Aires. She became pregnant, had this baby, gave the baby to her mother, which would be the child's grandmother. Then went back the street as a prostitute. Well, the little girl grew up in neighborhood kids. Nothing's meaner than little kids against other little kids. Tell them all about your mama, does this and that, and your mama's no good, and your mama's bad. And she ran to her grandmother, and grandmother had to admit it. So she hated her mother. Her mother, she was not a Christian. Her mother died. She didn't want to go to the funeral. She didn't want a thing to do with it. They finally picked her up bodily and took her to the funeral. When they were there, she sat at the back. She wouldn't go forward. They picked her up bodily, took her down to the coffin. The lid was open, and they forced that 8-year-old child, pushed her face down on her mother, said, "Now you kiss your mother on the lips. You say that you love her." Talk about stupid. They did it. The little girl went home. When we were there, she was in her late 20s, had several children, all kinds of diseases, cancer, tumors, you name it, she had it. And in fact, Orville Swindoll, who was a missionary there, said, "Tom, the main reason I asked you to come was for that particular woman who was acting up in the service." And went up, pointed the finger in the face, and I said, "In the name of Jesus, I paralyze you. Shut up." It was right in the middle of going on. I said, "Now sit down." And she backed up, sat down, and I said, "You don't talk." And I said, "If she does, you take her out of the room." She went home, went to bed, got a hold of the sheets and pulled them overhead, and she said, "Mother, mother, wherever you are, come to me." A familiar spirit from the mother came into the little girl. When we tried to deal with the demon, all the demon wanted to do was tell us all about her mother. The demon says, "Hey, her mother's sexy. Let me tell her." I said, "In Jesus' name, we don't want to hear it." "Well, then let me tell you about her grandmother." "So we don't want to hear that either, demon. Shut up." Well, we went on for 4 hours, and finally the Lord just solemnly came in, took over, and out they came with that little girl. We were singing, that woman. Well, we went on for 4 hours, and finally the Lord just solemnly came in, took over, and out they came with that little girl. We were singing, that woman. We were singing there, tired out, her husband, Orville, and I, and the lady. And she was sitting there. I was kind of leaning back in the chair, and she looked out in front of her, kind of, and she looked there, and she looked down to her feet, and I said to her, ask her what she's seeing. So he said in Spanish, "What are you seeing?" And she said back in Spanish, "These red things, they're coming through the air, and they hit about here, and they fall right down there on the floor." You know what she was seeing? The fiery darts of the wicked one. Don't ever think that there's anything in the Word of God that is not absolutely yes. It's true. It's yea and amen. So there are fiery darts. Now, you've had them. You didn't see them, maybe, but you sure felt them. They might have come by way of the ex-husband, ex-wife, the mother-in-law, somebody else. By the way, I joke mother-in-law. I had a wonderful mother-in-law, and she's in glory. And I love mother-in-laws. Being a grandpa, I really love them. So, when we take the shield of faith, it stops the fire darts of the wicked. Now, let me warn you. Don't ever think that, boy, I just put that on, and no more problems. They're just like deliverance. Man, if I can get this demon cast out of me of lying, exaggeration, half-truth, white lies, spoken deceit, they all go together. It's a gang of them. I won't tell any more lies. Oh, no. You can have the demon cast out, and I'll bring this in the next message, because you can have the demons cast out and still can almost be as strong in the flesh as it was when the demon was in there. Let me use an illustration. I'll use it again and again until you go home and say, "Well, one thing I'll remember, Brother Tom said so-and-so," and here it is. You are a spirit that has a soul that lives in a body. You are triune. Kind of nice, like God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. A lot like God. Into the spirit, you are born again in the spirit. Then when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's in your spirit. I like to tell people the difference there is, when you're born again, it's like you got the little blue flame on the furnace, you know, the pilot light. It'll go, and it's ready for the rest of it, but if you don't do something about it, that little blue light, you're going to freeze in the wintertime. And they say, "Got any gas in your furnace?" "Yeah, we got a whole lot of it." But you'll freeze with a pilot light. When you get the baptism of the Spirit, God kind of turns up the fire, and whoom! And that'll heat every room you got in your house. One furnace, the whole house. That's like limping along in a Model T when you drive a 1987 Cadillac. I wouldn't if I could, but there is a difference. One is barely, the blue flame will get you to heaven. But God says, "But you receive power, whoom!
after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So you need the baptism of the Spirit, mainly because God says you need it. But you need for the power you need to live your Christian life. Therefore, will you put on, so far, belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, shoes of the preparation of gospel peace, shield of faith. We have two of them, the one for close, the one for long distance, to take care of the distant fighting. And then he says, and take the helmet of salvation. Well, helmet goes here. Where is your battle? Oh, I'm sorry. I started an illustration, didn't finish. The one about the flesh. You're born again in your spirit, but the demons that were in your spirit leave, and they'll end up in your soul, mind, emotion, and will. That's why no Christian can be demon-possessed. Say this after me. No Christian can be demon-possessed. All right. The one that possesses your spirit possesses you. And that's only here. Here's where ownership is in the spirit. If you're born again, you don't have to be baptized in the spirit. If you're just born again, then the Spirit of God resides in your spirit, and you cannot be demon-possessed. They're gone from there. But believe you me, they can sure control you from your mind, your emotions, and your will. If you've been anything in deliverance, you've seen that, to where they're completely controlled, but not possessed, never possessed. No demon stays in the same sanctuary or the Holy of Holies where the Spirit of God is. Some people have problems with that. Church of God, Assembly of God, and about 100 other denominations. You know how many we've got? Over 400 denominations in America. And the big majority of them have problems with this thing of demons. I think the reason they have problems with demons is because they have problems with the Holy Spirit. You don't treat the Holy Spirit right, and the demons will take over. If you don't let the Holy Spirit have first place, the demons are going to try and work their way, and they'll control you for it. So, the demons have gone out of the Spirit, but they end up with your mind, the emotions, and the will. Let's say that that's your flesh. That's your mind, emotions, and will. Three. Let's take a little thing like lying. I know I have to be careful, so let me check something. Is there anybody here that you never told a lie in your life? Would you raise your hand? Anybody here you've never told two or three or four? I've got the crowd. Liars. David said, I came forth from my mother's womb doing what? Speaking lies. Well, let's just take lying. It's a common demon. So let's say that you tell a lie. It doesn't mean that you have a demon. You're in the crib still. You come out of the crib, you're walking. You know, you tell lies first. You do it by your actions. You do it by your speech. But when you tell a lie, exaggeration, half-truth, white lie, spoken deceit. Here comes that kind of a demon. The demon says, well, look at here. It's just the same way I am. It acts like I do. Wonder what its name is. Lying? That's my name. Well, that's where I belong, because that's where I am. So, clunk. Into your mind, emotions, and will comes the spirit of lying. Where you used to tell them like this, now you're going to tell them like this. Where you chose it. You know, people say, psychologists will say, he's a psychopathic liar. And in their terms, that may be right. But the truth is, he's got demons. And he's let them take over. They'd rather lie than tell the truth. And sometimes a kid will say, I don't know why, Mama, but I'd rather lie than tell the truth. Sure. Because the demon is the one that's in control now. Because he's got the upper. So Jesus said, he didn't say crucify the flesh first. Jesus said, in my name you shall what? Cast out demons. So do it the way Jesus wants it. Get the demon out of there. I knew he said the cotton picking, but he's not cotton picking. You get the demon out of there because he has control of your soulish area, of your mind, your emotions, and your will. You're stinking thinking. Anybody have? Yeah, you got. All right, we cast the demon out. And now we've got to watch this because that's how I got in to begin with. And some people think the demons are out. Wow, no more problems, and they go off. I'll teach that a little bit later on how to. I'm trying to get you to come back. Oh, you don't have here, do you? They come back anyhow. They're already here. But I'll teach about the way I like to teach on how to keep the demons out once they're cast out. You can't keep them out until after they've been cast out, and we go from there. So, we put on the whole armor of God. With that, when the demons are cast out, then you've got a chance of keeping them out.
plus, and I'll tie it in later on. How do you keep it out once they're cast out? Other than read the Bible, pray in tongues, pray in English, walk with God, save God's people. How else do you do it? All right. So back to the book. We take the helmet of salvation, and beloved, there's where your battle is. It's in the mind. My, I have women tell me they come and go to church. Or the way we are, my ministry is separate from Chapel Hill Harvester Church. I want it that way, and by the permission of the Presbyterian and so forth, it is. I have to correct one thing. I'm not on the staff at Chapel Hill Harvester Church. We have 20 elders and so forth, and 11,000 members and growing still. I said that to a lady at a place we stopped coming down, the restaurant. Got talked to her, and I said, she wanted to know where I was from, and I told her. And I said, we have church, 11,000 growing. She said, I came down here from, I think it was Griffin, Indiana. Or Griffith, someplace in Indiana. Excuse me. And she said, when I left, they had 5,000 members. And she said, now they have 75,000 members. I said, that must be Pentecostal. She said, it is. Only it was Pentecostal, charismatic, really in the flow and really going at it. And I felt like I was a little tiny Sunday school compared to 75,000. But the churches that God is growing, every year we go to Korea. We go to the Philippines, Korea. We go to Paul Cho's church, Yonge Cho's church. Go up in the balcony. You sit down and put on headphones. There are several buttons. One says English, so I press that one. But there's French and Italian and so forth. You press the one in which you are, and you get to hear the service in your language. And Paul Cho goes out preaching. Listen, I saw Paul Cho one morning preaching, and he pointed and called out demons and cast them out from the pulpit after he preached. I think it's after we'd had the Lord's Supper. We've been there 3 or 4 times now. We're going back this fall. But in that church, what's the largest church in the world? They believe in the Holy Spirit, the moving Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They put Jesus first. You can't put Jesus first without letting the Holy Spirit be the one that let you put him first and help you to put him first. Other place in the world, the others that are growing, all you have to do is look at the numbers. And God is moving by his Spirit. He's moving in the charismatic Pentecostal churches that are going on for God. And basically, I haven't checked this, so I'll have to say, I would think it's the churches that are moving in deliverance that opens them up to where the Holy Spirit can have the first place he wants to have within those people. All right. Again, back to the book. So here's where your battle is. It's in the mind, protected by the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, not part of them, all of them. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Know your Bible enough to where, remember Jesus, Luke 4, the devil tempted him. He'd been fasting 40 days and 40 nights. I believe Jesus, Jack, I believe the devil tempted Jesus more than just those 3 little times. I think he tempted him for about all 40 days and nights. I don't think he left him alone. When it says he left him for a season, I think he'd already been there before, left a while and came back, and here he comes another time. So he came at him and he said, now, you're hungry. Why don't you turn those, this is Hodgson translation, not King James. Why don't you turn those stones right there into Parker House Rolls? You know, that butter all over the top of them, glistening right there in the sun. Why don't you turn that into bread? You can do it if you're the Son of God. Jesus said, it is written. And quoted Scripture and won the battle. Then he came at him again. He tempted him physically, spiritually, mentally. Only 3 ways you can be tempted. And every time he'd say, it is written, give him the verse. It is written. And then that, I started to say stupid devil, but anyhow, he's a devil. He started to quote Scripture, Psalm 91, and he missed it. I mean, he did it on purpose. The devil will never give you a 100% lie. It's 99-44, but never 100% true. And he quoted that thing. You compare the two of them, and he left out part of the Word of God. He just didn't know it. He didn't want the part that's going to hurt him. And so he left that part of it out. So he quoted it. But the Bible says, thy word, O Lord, is forever settled where? In heaven. So let's use it here until we get there. And it's here that you get the victory through the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So know the Word. Memorize some. I don't think you have to memorize it like some people. I marvel and am blessed to hear Jack quote scripture. I just sit there, my mouth just kind of really takes it in and really bathes me in the word as I hear that, like every husband should do with his wife. You should read the Bible to your wife, husband, by the washing of the word every morning. That's God's plan for it. So, he says, then the sword of the Spirit was the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now, let's see, in the Spirit. Well, we'd run a reverence back a little bit, and Paul says, I'll pray with the understanding. I'll pray how? In the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding. I will, in the Spirit. And when I get there, if I can find Paul, I'm going to ask him to sing. I don't think he was much of a singer. Now, that might have been, but it's going to be interesting. So Paul says, do it both ways. Pray in English, but add in the Spirit. I tell people, maybe after this you may not see me again. You may not know about me, but if you think of Tom Hodgin, H-O-D-G-I-N, easy way to remember, the heart is a bucket. The gin part has to be cotton. But you think of Tom Hodgin or his wife Pearl, pray for me in tongues. Pray for me in the Spirit. I'd rather have that. And I'm sure you do the same, when there are things I don't know how to pray for, it, I pray for it, maybe in English, but then I go into tongues. You can pray more in tongues about it than to do in English. So, to me, it is very significant that Paul would take every single part of the armor of God, carefully put on the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, shoes, the preparation of gospel peace, above all the shield of faith, and then helmet of salvation, and taking the sword of the Spirit. And then what does he do? Praying always in tongues is what he says. So it must be important. Beloved, you do battle when you go in praying in tongues. You do some real praying that you'll never do in English, or maybe not as good as you do it in tongues, because that's God's plan. And I think it's important. So I'm going to let you or have you stand with me. We're going to put it on. Let me ask you a question when you stand. Can you make it? Let me ask you a question about it. Some of you might feel like I did after that trip yesterday and through the rainstorms you have here. My, oh, my. We cut down to 10, 15 miles an hour. I could hardly see anything. Cars pulled over the side of the road, but the Lord seemed to say to me, no, stay slow, but don't park. I'm tired from that. But I want you to do this with me, say, this is the way I start the day. You don't have to do it, but it's only a suggestion. Pray. Don't close your eyes. Say, Heavenly Father, please forgive me of any sin and cleanse me right now. I submit to you my whole spirit, soul, and body, mind, emotions, and will, hearing and seeing, smelling, tasting, and touching. And by faith, and according to the word of God, I now put on the whole armor of God so that I may be able to stand against the tricks and wiles of the devil. I put on the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, and overall, I take the shield of faith. And with the shield of faith, I should be able to quench all the fiery darts of that wicked one. I put on the helmet of salvation. I then take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Watching thereunto, with all prayer and supplication, praying in the Spirit. Now let's praise the Lord in tongues. E shan la ya da ba ba si. Shamon la ma ye ta ba ba si. E pe ki fe ton la ma ye. Ya sa ta la ma ya na de. E ka ni na ma la ma ye ta la ba si. Sha ba ki ta la ba yon na ma de. E po ka ma na da ba ya de. E ka na ni cha ta la ya ta ba so. O de ba sa ta ya da. And all the people said, amen. Good. Bless you. Love you already. I just got here.
Brother Glenn?
Well, we got 20 minutes here.
Sit down. I preach the everlasting gospel. And it takes that long. Let me ask a question. How many of you are in the habit of putting on the armor of God? Good. All right. The rest of you, most of you, try it. And you'll like it, really. And I believe this. When you put on, I used to put it on, and preachers say to me, even spirit baptized, charismaniac preachers and Pentecostal preachers and others, they say, you put on every day? And I said, sure. I like a clean new uniform for each day. And not just renovated or changed over. I like it like a new birth. I'm new in every day. When I start out, I know, it's the word, that when they see that, the demons or the devil, at least they know when he's got enough sense to put on the armor, so let's go get this joker over here. He doesn't know about it. And we can do him more dirt than we can this one because he's completely covered. He knows about it. Do you have any questions about anything I said? If I can't answer them, Jack can.
Well, I have. Yeah, it's not a question about what you said, other than you made the statement that you would tell us how to keep the demons down after you get them out. Here they're coming and going all the time. I might go myself. I'm interested in that.
All right.
Preview?
Yeah. Okay, here we go. Now.
We'll give away your secrets.
Yes, sir. Because if I can get this, if I do nothing but teach you how to keep demons out, I will say this has been a success for us to come here. We drove over 600 and some miles to get here. Now, when you cast the demons out, you have to keep them out. And naturally, you ought to read the Bible every day. Like I say to people, number one, you start to run. When you start the day, put on the armor first. Then number two, you ought to be true to the Word of God. And therefore, you have to be true to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And live to please them. Then number three is tree. Tree is the cross. Jesus was crucified on the cross. See, I meant this in an acrostic or whatever you call it. Easy to remember. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There were five things. Number three is tree. Jesus was crucified on the cross. When the demons are cast out, you have to crucify the flesh daily. Four, door. What door do you think that is? Door of the church. Go to church. You ought to be in a church. You ought to be under authority. You ought to serve the Lord through a church. These loners, the devil is picking them off. Like never before. There was a day of one-man ministry, Oral Roberts, Kevin Kuhlman, the Richard, on down the line, and greatly used. But God is now saying, you're not a loner. You go together. You work together. You serve together. I appreciate the plan that you have here. We believe for that. We're going overseas. We have 10 of them going this time. We used to go there just a few. We got 10 going. We're going to have 4 teams. I don't want to get into that. Now, then number four is door. You go to the church. That's where you put your tithe. First one tenth belongs to God, or you are a stealer. You're a robber. Now, let me ask you, how long do you think you're going to keep your deliverance when you steal from Almighty God? You just cannot do it. So you steal from God and you steal from your fellow Christians. The first one-tenth is God, and that is blood money. Just like that, it's blood money. So give God the first one-tenth. Ought to go through your church. Then number five, be alive, Christian. One run, two, God falls on the Spirit. Three, tree, crucify. Four, door. And five, be alive, Christian. Now, this particular thing helps. Let's say that you just cast out a demon of depression. There's a lot of depression here. When you cast out depression, I get depression, despondency, despair, gloom, hopelessness, helplessness, suicide. So we've cast out five or six demons there related to depression or heaviness. Same thing. The demon is out. Now, that demon considers you to be its home. For instance, in Matthew 12:42, when the unclean spirit goeth out of a man and walketh through dry places, seeking rest and findeth none, saith, I go back to my house from whence I came in. He comes and finds it empty, swept, and garnished. Now, not everyone may agree with this theology,
but we can't all be right. So let me give you the truth.
No. No, seriously. Here's the way I see Matthew 12:42. And there's certainly I want to learn any time for anyone. It says it's empty, swept, and garnished. Empty means there's no one there. No personality there. When we dismiss here and everybody goes out of this room will be empty, right? But it will still have it's swept or could be clean, and garnished is furnishings on the inside. So when the demon went back, there was no one there, but it was swept, garnished, and something on the order of furniture in it. And then he goes and gets seven other demons, more work than himself. They come in, they end that person worse than the last. I believe that was a lost sinner, not a Christian. And I don't see that happen much in Christians. However, the same demons have the same methods. Now, you've been in the house. We've had some of them say, but I've lived here 20 years. Now, you don't build doctrine on what demons say. You have to be careful about letting them talk too much. Sometimes, if you're in the spirit, you'll know, I think. And I love Brother Frank Hammond, and we're brothers in Christ. We've worked together, so forth. And he might be a little stricter on this than I am, but anywho, the demons will say, that's my house, I'm getting back in. They'll follow you around. I know people who, with their eyes wide open, like you see my hand, have seen demons following people around. Or they're sitting on your shoulders. I know people who have seen, like you see my hands on my shoulders, have seen demons on people's shoulders. Here's what they'll do. They'll sit there and they'll try to program you. How did they get in to begin with? Because you depressed, despondent, despair, gloom. How are they going to get back if you get that way again? Are you with me? Yeah, sorry. Are you depressed? Okay. So depressed, 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 and demon comes and says, one more, two more, I'm back in again. Plunk. How to get back in? Because you got in the flesh just like you used to be. Depressed, depressed, depressed. Or you misunderstand. You say, you should know the truth. Truth should set you free. It'll only make you free if you act on it. If you don't act on it, you might as well forget it. So, how do we keep them out? You come along, and you wake up in the morning. It's windy, cold, rainy, dark, and you think, oh, I hate to go to work. I wish I could stay in bed. I'd like to just pull up the covers and go right back to sleep again. And who hasn't wished that? But it goes on. This kind of day gets me depressed. I feel bad. You know what's happening? Probably the demon's sitting there programming you. He's getting really teletape on you. He's getting you to think, yeah, oh boy, yeah, terrible, terrible. He says it and you do it. And you think it. And so after a while he says, a couple more and I am back in. And he's in there. So how do we keep that demon from talking his way back in? When you realize it's there, we say, give the demon the L treatment. We say L because L stands for Lord, also stands for love. God will never deal with you except through love, through Jesus, by the Holy Spirit. Only way you got saved was Holy Spirit convicted you through Jesus, you got to the Father. Holy Spirit will deal back down through Jesus by the Holy Spirit. No other way. The devil will come at you. He'll come here. Holy Spirit comes to the Spirit. So, it's there. And I feel depressed. Now, if you're by yourself, and no one looking except Jesus, you make the sign. You've made it. And then you look at it. That reminds you of Lord, love. And then you say, I thank you, Lord. You delivered me from that. You're getting it. That's right. Because you called that cotton-picking demon of that. And that makes you mad. Several things there really get the demon. Number one, the highest thing any human being can do, and in particular spirit-baptized Christians, is to worship and praise the Lord. Amen. Some will jump and dance and so forth and carry on. Others, this is the best they can do. But if you worship, worship. And so when you worship God, that's above everything else there is. And that gets more done than anything else, is worshiping. So we worship God, and we praise Him. I thank you, Lord. We're being grateful. Then we state, we speak truth. You delivered me. It's the truth. From that. When you say that, you don't call his name.
And he's just listening and listening. Amen. And what you're saying is, I praise you, Lord. I thank you. Deliver me from that. It's kind of like a, psst, he's there, but that's not getting that. We used to say to people, say, okay, you demon of depression, responsive despair. Get away from me. Get out of my house. Get off my property. And they have a five-minute conversation for one demon. And as a result, they wore themselves out, and the demon says, I got her. So when it happens, and you realize, that goes for any demon. Depression, anger, temper, rage, violence, murder, wrath, whatever they are. We make a sign. What do we make? L. And L stands for what? And so we say what? Lord, I thank you for delivering me from that. Oh, he hates it. Do you know that a demon that's much of a demon at all will not even say the word Jesus, will not say the word praise? Some have their exceptions. But basically, they don't even want to say the word praise. That's a silly demon. The thing said, we put a blanket over the service so they can't do that. And I said, do what? The demon said, you know. And I said, do what? Demon said, you know. I said, go on. Wouldn't say the word. I said, then spell the word. Demon says, P-R-A. And then wouldn't go. I said, go on. I said, I-S-E, the demon nodded. I said, it would not speak the word praise. And so I know we're really hurting them when we say, I praise you. I thank you, Lord. You delivered me from that. When you don't call its name, nothing could be worse than that. They are very proud. They like to hear the name. They like to be talked about. They like to know that they're just driving you up a wall. But when you stand there and say, I thank you, Lord, you delivered me. The Bible says they overcame in the blood of the Lamb and what else? Word of the testimony. Your testimony. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord. That's right. So I thank you, Lord, you delivered me from that. And we're just lowering. So, the Bible says the devil left Jesus for a season. Don't be surprised if you got it for now. But, let's say you do that one time, two times, you do it three times, you do it four times, and you're real. Lord, let me tell you what the problem is. Flesh. It either has to be a demon, or it has to be the flesh. And so if you do that two or three times or so, and you're still being bothered, okay, Tom, the demon's out there and we're keeping it out. Line up and fly right. So you read Scripture. 91st Psalm's good. 70th Psalm is good, and I'll bring that in later on. A good tape. Some of you have heard here. Somebody else's tape that will encourage you and bless you. Get something, because the joy of the Lord is our strength, and give a little joy and his strength. Amen. All right? So everyone do this with me. Make the sign. What is it? I see one that's not doing it. Good. Now, and we say, I thank you, Lord. You delivered me from that. Good. So, if it's still bothering you, do it again. And what you're really saying is, I know you're there, demon, but you're not that much bother to me. Because I know the strength. You're not... The strength is, it's your testimony, and it's the truth you're speaking, and that's going to keep him out. And then let's say you do it two, three times, four times, it still bothers you. Where do you go then? Jump in the lake? Flesh. All right, you go to the flesh and speak to yourself. No matter what you say to you. They'll say, now, come on, no more of that. You know the demon's out. And a lot of people use that for an excuse. A lot of people use it for a quick fix, and it won't work. So I know, and you are not going to get back like this, because that thing will get back like this, and we've got the same problem. Keep it up. All right? Brother Glenn.
Okay, we're going to learn a course, and then we'll be ready for lunch. We're learning. And then we put in practice what we learn. That's what you came here for, to learn. So you can go home and be victor and help somebody else.
Amen. I'm looking for the pianist. Yes. You know, there is a song that perhaps some of you know already. We're the people of God, called by his name, called from the dark and delivered from shame. One holy race, saints everyone, because of the blood of Christ, Jesus the Son. I'd like us to sing this. Maybe we can sing it through the rest of the week. It goes like this. We're the people of God, called by His name, called from the dark and delivered from shame. One holy race, saints everyone, because of the blood of Christ, Jesus the Son. That's the way it goes. Let's try it. We're the people of God, called by His name, called from the dark and delivered from shame. One holy race, saints everyone, because of the blood of Christ, Jesus the Son. Let's try it. Let's stand as we sing it. We're the people of God, called by His name, called from the dark and delivered from shame. One holy race, saints everyone, because of the blood of Christ, Jesus the Son. Now listen, listen to this verse. Hear us, O spirits of darkness, so you will know where we stand. Amen. We are God's people and were purchased with scars, bought by the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb. Oh, let's sing it together now. We're the people of God, called by His name, called from the dark and delivered from shame. One holy race, saints everyone, because of the blood of Christ, Jesus the Son. One more verse. This is the first verse. With our lips let us sing one confession, with our hearts full to want truth alone. For He has erased our transgressions, He's named us, He's called us His own, His very own. All together on the chorus. We're the people of God, called by His name, called from the dark and delivered from shame. One holy race, saints everyone, because of the blood of Christ, Jesus the Son. We got to do it one more time. Amen. We're the people of God, called by His name, called from the dark and delivered from shame. One holy race, saints everyone, because of the blood of Christ, Jesus the Son.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.